The Lion King and a Mistaken Blessing. Our search for relevance continues because this is 2020. And whether you heard Diane Sawyer say it or me, Father Rosigan, priest of the Armenian Church, this happens to be the 604th episode of The Next Step, where we look at life through the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's take The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I think it got a little cheesy later on, but in the early days, this was the place you'd go to get news. I mean, there were just a few sources that you'd get it. And hearing Diane Sawyer go, "This is 2020. Not talking about the year, not talking about this new decade we're in, but talking about a news show, news magazine, television show. Yeah, there were only a few places you can go to get news. You'd have, of course, your newspaper. You'd have news magazines such as Time and Newsweek and U.S. World and News Report. And then there were like these television shows. So the most popular, of course, is 60 Minutes. It's still on until today. 2020 was like an answer. I think it was the ABC answer to CBS. And we'd get Diane Sawyer who'd come up and say, "This is 2020. So what they tried to do is, I guess they tried to get her to come and say, "This is 2020 at the when the ball dropped in Times Square. You know, here in America, we have this beautiful tradition. I've always wanted to go, and now I'm scared to go. I mean, when you see the crowd, the number of people that pack into this small little area, Times Square. But yeah, when I was younger, I really wanted to go there. Maybe one day it'll happen. But they pack into this little Times Square. And I can remember even with my grandmother, she'd babysit us on New Year's Eve. And we'd watch as the ball would fall. And it would come down in Times Square. And that would be our signal, New Year's, the new year would come in with the drop of the ball. So they tried to get Diane Sawyer to come back on. I guess she's retired or she was unavailable. They tried to get her to come back on and say, "This is 2020. And those people such as myself who knew that voice and kind of like Pavlovian conditioned to think of that voice and to think of that 2020 might have made that nice little connection with, of course, the new year that has come in. Anyway, she was unavailable. So they brought in Sherry Orteri from Saturday Night Live. If you're a fan of Saturday Night Live, you remember back in those times, she used to do these great, great impressions of Diane Sawyer. So they brought her in, and I guess Anderson Cooper, there is a little clip where Anderson Cooper is just beside himself. He cannot contain himself, how he's laughing and watching this impersonation of Diane Sawyer. All this to say that, hey, it's 2020. Yes. I will put a link to the article, of course, and read it for yourself. It's kind of interesting. If you know the players and if you know the 2020 magazine, if you remember Diane Sawyer and so on and so on. But, of course, today we're talking about being on the next step, and we are in the new decade, and you know that I say that with reservation because, you know, I was here when the new millennium started, and yes, there is no year zero. So really, the decade is going to start in about 1 year, but we have 366 days to get through, and I think most everybody agrees that we are in the 20s now, and this is a good way to call this decade the 20s. So let's, for the sake of argument, let's say welcome to the new decade. We are in the year 2020, and we are producing a show called The Next Step, where we are talking about faith. We are looking at life through the very the most ancient of all Christian fabrics, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. And you say, well, why did you bring in Diane Sawyer? And if there's Armenian Orthodoxy, what does this have to do with all of this stuff? And that's why you're listening right now, right? Because you know, and if this is your first time, you will know that by the time we get through today's show, we're going to connect all those dots. And actually, I'm not going to wait too long. We're going to start doing it right now because it's really important. We are in a new year. We are in a new decade. Now, for me, like many of you, you know, you put out goals for the year. And January 1st is definitely a perfect time to do that because it marks a unique time on the calendar. And you could say, okay, what are my goals? And I did set some goals for myself, personal goals, ministry goals in terms of audience. But I think when I look back on my life and I look back on my ministry, I think about in many ways, I think the overall goal has always been for me is to find relevancy, to make sure that our faith is not something that just gets turned on Sunday morning, but it's something that is relevant so that, you know, Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, Friday afternoon, that faith has a meaning. And yeah, we do wander off, and that faith is something that we want to keep close by, but sometimes we wander away from that faith. But wandering away means exactly that we've wanted to keep that faith alive all the time. Like, do you get it? Like, there's no point in wandering away. Like, it doesn't mean anything to say, hey, I wandered away from my faith, unless you were understanding that your faith is something more than Sunday morning. Obviously, if your faith is just Sunday morning, then you have, you know, the other 6 days to wander away. But if you're wandering away during the week, it means that you want it to be more than just this little sacramental event that takes place Sunday morning. And I do use those words carefully. I did say a little sacramental event because that's what it is. Now, lately, I've been rereading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's The Cost of Discipleship. And it's very interesting because he talks in there about cheap grace. And it's exactly that point about that cheap grace. What is real grace and what is cheap grace? And he talks about that idea that we go in there. And in particular with confession, we sometimes go in there in the Armenian church and we have this general form of confession. And I think that Protestants a lot of times come up against cheap grace when they talk about the salvific act of Christ on the cross. And they talk about Jesus has died for our sins. Yeah, that's easy, right? But what have we done? It almost like, not almost, it definitely, it takes responsibility away from us and our life and puts it in the hands of Christ, in the hands of God. Rather than us taking responsibility for our lives, we somehow say that, okay, well, Christ is the one who saves us by doing this action upon the cross. Thanks be to God that he did this. Yes, absolutely, thanks. But what is your participation? What is your contribution to that equation of salvation? And this is an important question because I think many times in a lot of traditions, people will say, well, we don't have a contribution. It's by grace. No, I think that's the cheap grace. I think that's cheap for you not to participate. It's like Christmas gifts. I think a few weeks ago, I can't remember if we talked about it here on The Next Step or if it was one of my sermons, but I talked about cheap gifts for Christ. when we get ready to give gifts at Christmas, you can give a cheap gift. And that doesn't mean you go to the 99-cent store. That doesn't mean you go to the bargain basement and you buy something and that's a cheap gift. No, you can go to Neiman Marcus. You can go to Macy's and buy a cheap gift. A cheap gift is one that doesn't take much thinking, one that you can square away with a few sheets of paper that are stuffed in your wallet, and you claim, okay, here's my money, and I'm buying this gift. That's not what the gift is all about, and you know that. It's the gift that Jesus asks for Christmas. He says, when you give so that the person give to the people who have absolutely no way of giving back to you, to feed the poor, to help those in need. Can you reach out and do those things? So it's an interesting argument for Christmas. We talk about Christmas being the birth of Christ. Why aren't we getting Jesus the gift that he wants us to get him? And in that sense, you understand that there is an expensive gift. And that expensive gift is not something you buy at the store. It's not measured by money, but it's measured by your life and what you do and how you give it. And if you have that understanding, and I think once you make the case for it, you understand, you know, a reading of the gospel and you realize that Jesus is asking for some very simple things. In other words, love one another and tend to one another, care for one another. Once you understand that, the question is, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we there? And it's simple. And we say it often enough, but we realize that ultimately that's the quest that we have. That's the reason why we have to exist. And that's relevance. So that Christ, so that God, so that our faith is relevant in our lives. I mean, I can't tell you how much it's annoying me how mechanical we have become. How cheap we have become. Cheap in the sense that, you know, we haven't put any thought into what we do. I mean, you think about this whole thing about December 25th, January 6th. I mean, people, I can't believe how many people are really hung up on this. December 25th, well, that's what the Americans, that's what the rest of the world does. We Armenians, we keep it on January 6th. Okay. No argument. Yeah. Okay. Historical fact. We have it. You can go through the records. Okay. So what does that mean to you? That's the question. That's what cheapens it. Are you with me? That's what cheapens it. The idea that you don't care about anything beyond the date. And I've heard people talk about these things. I've heard people talk about, well, when you greet a priest, there is a certain greeting. When you come to Christmas morning, you have to greet one another. Christ is in our midst. You have to greet one another with the holy kiss, that Christ is with us. Okay, yes. It's scriptural too. We have on Christmas Day a new message. Christ is born and revealed. On Easter, we have Christ is resurrected. Christ is resurrected from the dead. Okay, beautiful. Now, does that change us? It should. It should if it was relevant. I'll tell you a little story that happened just a couple weeks ago. On Christmas Eve, every Christmas Eve, I have this beautiful chance. I don't know if I shared it with you. I have to apologize today because, you know, there is just a stream of stuff that has happened in the last few weeks. And just all of my traveling and all of my appointments speaking at different places and opportunities to share different stories and messages, I hope I'm not overlapping. I know I'm overlapping for my sake, but I know Next Step listeners, you come from week to week. So I shared this with you last week, but on Christmas Eve, that means December 25th, and those of you who know and listen, you know I intentionally call that Christmas, and I intentionally call this coming Monday Theophany, which is the actual Armenian name translated, Astvaza Haydnutyun. It is commonly called Armenian Christmas, but it's a misnomer. It is Astvaza Haydnutyun, Theophany. So when I talk about Christmas, I'm talking about December 25th. And on the eve of it, we celebrated with a Christmas Eve service where we had a live nativity. And this was at the St. Leon, Sorpozrevontian's Mother Cathedral in Burbank, California. This is the cathedral for the Western Diocese. And every year I put together something like this for the different churches that I've been at. And this year, His Eminence Archbishop Hovnon asked if I would do it for the cathedral, at the cathedral. And I have a tradition in this live nativity. I find the youngest child to play the part of Jesus, and I ask for the parents to play the part of Joseph and Mary. And never knowing that all these years that we've done it, that this year I had the beautiful opportunity that my own grandchild was the youngest child in the congregation. And so he played the role of Jesus, and his parents played the role of Joseph and Mary. After we went through this beautiful service, and you know, a lot of Christmas carols, a lot of singing, a message, Bible passages we read in Armenian and in English, and on top of that, we also read in Western and Eastern Armenian too. It was just a beautiful, beautiful emotional service, and I think that everyone was moved, including the Archbishop, who at the end of the service, when he was coming up to give the final blessing to the people. And in the Armenian tradition, there's a tradition that the presiding cleric, in this case the Archbishop, he would pick up the hand cross, and with the hand cross he would bless the people, namely in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making the form of a cross, blessing the people. Those of you in the Orthodox tradition, in the Catholic tradition, know what I'm talking about, right? The priest will, with his hand or with a hand cross, will follow the form of a cross and make a cross, and people will cross themselves to this. And I imagine that the Archbishop was so moved by the service that he actually picked up the child Jesus. And he blessed the people with the child Jesus. It was just beautiful. It was spontaneous. It came naturally. And it was a blessing. And if you think about it, it's what greater blessing is there? The youngest child giving a blessing from the Archbishop to the people and saying that, go then, go in peace, and may the Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. This is the final blessing. So it was interesting because we had a few people who looked at it and said that, oh, this is like the Lion King. And yeah, it was like the Lion King. Oh, yeah, it was. You know the scene in the Lion King where the lion picks up the baby and holds it up. And it was just beautiful. But here's what got me is we all identified with the Lion King. And very few people identified with the blessing itself. And that to me tells me that, first of all, the very basic, that Lion King is more popular than the Armenian church, which we already know, right? By box office sales alone, right? You know what I'm talking about. But even more than that, on a real terms, it's that Lion King experience has somehow gotten into the psyche of the people, and they understand that that is a beautiful scene at which time the older generation presents to the new generation the continuity of life, and they understand that continuity of life becomes the blessing. That's the blessing. Now, why can't we understand the faith that be you blessed by the grace of the Holy Spirit, says the priest, as he makes the sign of the cross? And what I'm challenging you to do is to really think about it. Why do we quickly adapt to the Lion King and not to the Armenian church or to the Orthodox faith or to that gesture? And it's very easy. It's relevance. It's what's important in our lives. The Lion King is something we all know. Our children know, more important than anything else. Our children know what the Lion King is. But the church is some kind of obscure entity, institution, that only gets wound up on Sunday mornings. So it's not an everyday experience. Whereas the Lion King is something that we may watch, say, Wednesday evening, Thursday morning when we go to school or to the office, we have something to talk about. Friday night at dinner, we still discuss it. And if possible, Saturday night, we may grab a few friends and go and experience it again because it has affected us. Do you see what I'm talking about? It's that effect. It's that relevance that it has in our lives. Very, very important. This past week, I had a chance to watch Two Popes. The Two Popes. It's a Netflix movie. Let me just tell you, next step, listeners should all watch The Two Popes. Somehow see it. I know it's in a few theaters too. I wish we all lived a little closer. One of my dreams would be for us as next steppers to sit in a theater, watch it, and then maybe have an entire weekend where we discussed it. I mean, the nature of the questions, the nature of the discussion, the conversations was like another page right out of The Next Step. In fact, there's a garden scene, and it's a garden in that garden scene between the two popes. I felt like it was a conversation that I just had recently with a seminarian, and surprisingly, was very hurt to find out that one of the younger generation is still thinking in terms of basically old ideas. Take some time and watch The Two Popes, and I would love to hear what you think about it. I would love to hear your comments. But here's what I want to bring into the discussion right now. In that discussion, it's the story of Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, the last two popes of the Roman Catholic Church, and about the different ways and approaches that they had. But also in there is the speaking of God and hearing God's voice. It was very beautifully done. I don't know how true it is. I don't know who could have authenticated it. Because obviously the only two people who could have gotten in on those conversations were the two popes themselves. Unless, as we're finding out, not everything at that level is that hush-hush. We're just seeing right now that the president makes a phone call. There's like a lot of people listening in on the phone call too. And it could have been very possible that these two popes talked with one another, that there were other witnesses to their talk. But I don't want to give away too much of it. So let me just leave it there. I don't want to talk about the two popes, aside from the fact that it brings, again, the focus on relevancy. Where is the relevancy? How is the church real in our lives today? How is it more than a Sunday morning experience? How is our faith something real every day of our lives, even when we go off the track and we lose sight of what the faith is, it signals us that we do have a faith that is more than a Sunday morning faith. Let me leave it right there, okay? Because I'm going to come back and talk about theophany, and I think we're going to pick up some of the loose ends. I choose a song of the day every week. And something to go with it, the mood and the time of the day and the feeling of the day. Let's reorient ourselves to where it all begins, namely Chorut Chorin, Mystery Deep. This is celebrated by the Hover State Chamber Choir. Hover State Chamber Choir doing Chorut Chorhin, Mystery Deep, Inscrutable. This is the first hymn of the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church. Also should be first in our heart. And when we start looking out at what we want to do for the new year, we'll be talking more about that in a few minutes, about where we're going, where we're headed. It has to be built on something, and Chorut Chorhin is that mystery upon which we build all else, including our faith, our beliefs, our belief systems. And so I wanted to share that with you, a beautiful, beautiful rendition, which I had not played in all of these years. Actually, I couldn't have in all these years. This one just came out. I believe this is a 2018 recording. I will have a link on today's show notes to not only this song, but all of the remarkable music that's put out by the Hover State Chamber Choir.
Tzava bayit nore ora imne ora yev huy sen ora yes I'd come napsos ush haskatsa u yerp armatneris veradartsa ints getashemin him ganzarani Ran vera patrast kahvats er banalin.
We're talking about relevancy, how to make our faith more than just a Sunday morning event. And something very beautiful happens this coming Monday. Namely, it is the Feast of Theophany, the first major feast day in the Armenian Church calendar. It is called Theophany because in Armenian it means Astvadza Haidnutyun, God, Astvadz, Theo, and the Epiphany, the revelation of God, takes place this Monday, January 6th, commonly called Armenian Christmas. It's a misnomer. It is it is more than the nativity, because we do celebrate not only the nativity, but all the events up into the baptism of Christ. And at the baptism, something unique. It's what I call a point of singularity. And I pick up that term from science. You know, when they talk about black holes and these cosmic events, you see that there's these moments of singularity, that this is just this one little tiny moment when this happens. And we hit one of those moments of singularity at the baptism of Christ, where we see the Son of God, Jesus Christ, standing at the River Jordan. We see the Holy Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove. And we hear the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." And so for that one moment, it's this moment of singularity. You have the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being revealed to humanity, being revealed to the world, to the universe. There it is. It's this one little moment, Theophany, God being revealed. Now, if this cataclysmic event takes place, let's say on an astronomical scale, we know that black holes will absorb all the light. When we have a event such as the baptism of Christ, what is being absorbed? Are we being sucked in there? We should be. We should. And that sucking in is what the relevancy factor is. You see, when the black hole sucks everything in, everything comes in, including light, and everything gets in, and you better believe it. If you're there, it is very relevant, right? You're getting swallowed in. Okay. The theophany. The baptism of Christ. Why isn't that sucking us in? The Holy Trinity is being revealed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, if you really think about it for a moment, you should be gasping and realizing the Creator of the universe has loved us so much that at this moment, He's revealing Himself to us. And yet we just take it as what I called a cheap celebration. Krishna is an avyavahid nitzav. Christ is born and revealed. Tezi mezi mezabedis. I know how to say it. I know how to say the formula. Okay. But how does that work in your life? Because you know that tomorrow you have to go and you have to go and deal with issues that are very real in your life, with illnesses, with cancers. You have to deal with financial difficulties, with mortgages, payments, sometimes unable to make payments. You have to deal with relationships, some of them gone sour, some of them really exploding to the point where there's hatred, there's bitterness in families. And I could make a list and list and list of all the difficulties that we face. Yeah, we can get on the bigger scale too. Yeah, we're talking about global issues. Sure. Climate warming. That's a big one. Does Christos imechmer haidnetzav or Christos zanaviv haidnetzav, the Christ is born and revealed, does that have something to do with climate change? Should we be connecting the dots between these events and, say, the divorce that we went through? The bankruptcy that we filed? The prognosis that we got from our doctor? Christ is born and revealed. That's what the cheapness is. We haven't made that connection. We're not making that connection. And the challenge, I think, for us as next steppers is to take that next step, to understand that, yes, Christ is born and revealed has something to do with my life. Because as I'm looking on at my illnesses, I realize that Christ, in the midst of the illness of the world, was revealed. As I'm going through financial difficulties, even to the point where I filed for bankruptcy and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, it's okay because Christ came at a point where we did not know what was happening with tomorrow, but God said, I will not leave you alone. And he's there, right there at that moment. And how much more will he be there for me at my moment of pain and sorrow? And each one of our difficulties that we have, we understand that Christ being born and revealed is a message to us of God's love for us. And here's the rub. If God loves us, what other power is there? Seriously, think about it for a moment. God, creator of the universe, is with you, loves you, cares about you. What other power is there out there that could put you down? And how come we can't get this simple message out to people? What's the difficulty about getting this simple message out to people? Instead, we start arguing about, well, the date of Christmas is, you know, January 6th. It's not December. Okay, I understand. I understand. I mean, you want the information? I've written articles about it. I've done videos about it. You want the information? I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Okay. But what does that have to do with your life today? Instead of talking about the simpleness that God being revealed affects my relationships, even those relationships that have gone sour, that amidst those people that I loved and I hurt, I'm finding reconciliation, I'm finding forgiveness, is truly the will of God and the expression of God in life today. And so when I am forgiven and when I forgive, God is revealed. How come we're not explaining this? How come we're not talking about this? Instead, we're talking about, well, you know, there's a proper way and an improper way to address the priest. If he's a married priest, you say Asvadzoknagan. No, 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 wait, we got it wrong. Excuse us, we say Ortnetzek Dedhaid. And if he's unmarried, Well, actually, if he's celibate, we say Asvadzok Nagan. Now, you can't say Ornya Der to the man. Why? What? We're creating laws and regulations. And you know what? Here's the sadness. We create these laws and regulations because there is an emptiness. And that emptiness is revealing. It's revealing how small we are. We're concerned about the external rather than the internal. We're concerned about the things that Christ told us not to be concerned about. Head coverings, pomegranates, grapes, basil leaves. Do we have string for Holy Thursday? Those items that I just listed off, those next steppers will understand, will know exactly what I'm talking about. These are items that distract us. They're all beautiful because they can, yes, they can move you towards faith. I think that when you talk about, for instance, the grapes on Assumption, in August we have the Feast of Assumption, and we have grape blessing. And here's an opportunity for you to take a branch of grapes and point to Scripture, John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches and you have to bear fruit. I mean, it's beautiful. And it can bring us to faith. Instead, it becomes, when is grape blessing? We need a grape blessing. For what? You need a grape blessing like you need a hole in the head. But once you understand what it is, then it's no longer a grape blessing, but it becomes a part of life that is equally valid today in January as it is in August, not just something that you're looking forward to. And so we add different things, and it's our emptiness. It's like the same discussion that we have about women in the church. Oh man, I can't tell you the number of times people come up to me. How come women aren't allowed at the altar in the church? Well, who says they aren't? I mean, what is your source that you're saying that they're not allowed? Oh, you're talking about the last 100 years. Well, let's see. The Turks came in 1915, and they not only massacred the people, they destroyed the church. They went right for the jugular vein. Yeah, they did. Right after that, we had communism. We had 70 years of communism, atheism. And somehow, miraculously, the church survived. And when we talk about the church today, you're talking about an entity that really is about 30 years old, since 1990, 1991. Church has been dormant, has seen a lot of difficulties. So to base it on a few ideas that you have in your head over the last 100 years is wrong. Study. But we don't study. Why? Because that's not the question we're asking. Listen to me really carefully. When people ask, why aren't women allowed in the Armenian church, to serve in the Armenian church, they're not asking that question. It's just one more idea for them to pick on the Armenian church. It's one more idea to take you away from what is important about the faith. Yeah, it is. And I think that this new year, this new decade, should signal, at least for me it's going to, but I'm hoping that for you as next steppers, should signal a time for us to really truly understand our faith in terms of who we are on a daily basis. That faith cannot mean something to us just Sunday mornings. St. Vartha Mamigonian, I think, said it so beautifully when he was talking to the Persians. And they basically wanted us to deny our Christianity. And this is not after 2,000 years of expressing a Christian message. This is exactly 150 years since the adoption of Christianity in Armenia. Adopted in 301, in the year 451. A century and a half, 150 years later, we were asked to go ahead and put it out on the line. Either deny your faith in Christ or be killed. Why did we opt for martyrdom? Why? What was the response of Saint Varthamami Gonyan, of Saint Remontieretz? What was their response? It was that this is not a shirt. This is not something that I could just peel off in my back. Christ is part and parcel of my life. It's in every essence, every cell of my body. What are you talking about? There's expensive. That's an expensive gift, right? Yeah, the cheap gift is the shirt. Your life is the expensive gift. Look, there are two motor vehicles that I want you to check out this week, and it'll give you a little bit better idea of what we're talking about, okay? Sort of like homework for next steppers. One of which, both of them will be on today's show notes. One of them is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. This was a book that was very popular in the early 1970s. It was something that I read, and I reread, I'd say, about 3 or 4 years ago. It turns out that the motorcycle on which that was the inspiration for this book by Robert Persick, that motorcycle went into the Smithsonian, and it was inducted? I don't know if that's the word. Anyway, it was accepted into the Smithsonian, and it is the motorcycle that was the inspiration to the writing. That book talks about quality, talks about the metaphysics, what's at the bottom, what's underneath it all. And it talks about actually something, this is just tangentially, I want to just bring it in, it talks about the Chautauqua. And it intrigued me. The Chautauqua was an interesting idea. It would be like this traveling area where people would be traveling with the almost like tents, and they would be discussing philosophical matters and discussing, sharing with one another concepts about things they've read, ideas that they've heard, the Chautauqua. It was interesting to me because I read this book back in the 70s, and when I got to Holy Etchmiadzin in 1977, as a student, I learned that the name of the institution that we had there, the Gemaran, which popularly gets translated as seminary, is built on the word Gemel. Gemel means to stroll. And as you strolled, as the teacher and the student, the mentor, they would be strolling there, the information, there the ideas were transferred between teacher and student. Namely, the Chautauqua, the Gemel, the Gemaran. Fascinating, huh? You're sitting around and reading the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and it connects with Etchmiadzin. I told you, like, this is like nothing I just picked up right now. This has been like a lifelong passion, is to find these connections. And you find these connections if you just open your heart not to the boundaries that we set, but to the idea that we are all interrelated, and it is all interrelated. It all comes together so beautifully. Now, the other motor vehicle is the Beetle. 2020 signals the end of the Volkswagen Beetle. And it's very emotional for me. It was a little commercial that we saw yesterday on the first day of 2020. It was a goodbye to the Beetle, produced by Volkswagen. But what was interesting is they played Beatles' Let It Be. And as I'm watching it, there's a little scene right in it where you see the Volkswagen and the license plate is 70 years. And I don't know what it was. As I'm watching it, I just heard myself going, 70 years of the Beatle. And then it clicked that they're playing Beatles music. It was just so well done because it kind of like played off of the feelings, the emotions. I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out that commercial as well. Now, these two motor vehicles I bring up, whether it's the motorcycle in Zen or whether it's the Volkswagen Beetle, both of them are relevant in our lives. They go beyond just a Sunday morning ritual. And that's the challenge that I'm asking you to take. Do you know what today happens to be? Today there's 4 days before Theophany. That means there's 8 days after Christmas. In other words, in the 12 days of Christmas, it happens to be the 8th day of Christmas.
On the 8th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 8 maids of milk and 7 swans a-swimming.
6 geese a-laying.
Now let me ask you, is there something more irrelevant than 8 maids a-milking? Okay, those of you working in the dairy industry, do not answer this. Is there something more irrelevant than 8 maids a-milking? What do we get on the 9th day? What do we get on the 5th day? The 5 golden rings. Do you understand? These all detract from the point of what this celebration is about. And I'm challenging you today to really look at Theophany as this important moment of singularity in your life. When there's a wake-up call to say that, okay, I'm at a point right now. I'm no longer a child. I'm at a point in my life where I have to understand that my faith has to be something that is worth it beyond just Sunday morning. And that every day of my life, even with my difficulties, even with my struggles, even when I go off the target and I move out of my faith, I'm still trying my best to keep God first and keep God in my life to move my faith, to move myself forward in that faith. To me, a New Year's resolution is built on something like this. It's not about the outward things, because when you're talking about those resolutions that you want to do, whether it's weight loss, smoking cessation, drinking, whatever the vice may be, underlying it is what? Are the metaphysics. Underlying it are the basic reasons. And so think of Theophany as this moment of singularity. This Monday, January 6th, as an opportunity for you to focus in on the singularity of that event, how it affects you, and how Christ in our midst is more than words, more than just an expression, more than something that I need to learn to say the right way. Sure, learn it the right way. Nobody's telling you not to do that. Don't misinterpret this. And I know there will be some people, oh, did you know Father Boskin said, no, don't worry about that. Worry about what it means to you in your life, with your difficulties, with your struggles, to understand that Christ is born and revealed means that God is with us in the moment, right now. And therefore, there's absolutely nothing greater out there that can overcome or overshadow that power. I'm going to take a break right now. Here's Susie to share with you some information. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you to all of our listeners. Hey, I love getting your responses, your emails. Thank you so much for all of the end of the year comments and support that we received. God bless you all. We are trying desperately to get out some information to you in the form of physical mail, because you're going to like what you get. Please bear with us. I told you I was hoping we'd get it out by January 1st, but personal issues and just, it's been a really, really hectic time. I know you hear me say that, but I want you to believe it. It's true. It's just been really, really hectic. I mean, look, think about today. We are recording in Pasadena today, and the Rose Parade just goes by our house on January 1st. So the parade floats that you see on TV, they get parked like about two blocks from where we record the next step. So today, Susie asked if while we're recording, she could go over to see the floats, and she did. She got a chance to see them. She'll be back any moment now to come and produce this show. Reason I'm saying is we're all trying to find time to moonlight, in other words, to do the things that we want to, because we're just filled with stuff. And I'm not doing this as an apology. I'm just asking you, have a little bit of patience, because you're going to like what you get in the mail, okay? It's going to be coming to you in the mail hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I've got a young lady named Mimi. Hopefully she's going to be working on this project this coming week. Meanwhile, this Monday is Theophany. The Feast of Theophany having to be on Monday means that one day before, Theophany Eve is celebrated Sunday evening with the Holy Divine Liturgy. Therefore, because there is only one liturgy, Divine Liturgy, per altar in the Armenian Church, Sunday morning, very unique situation, 2020, Sunday morning, there will not be Divine Liturgy in the church if they are going to be celebrating the Eve in the evening. Now, I say this because in many of the rural communities, as for instance, I'm going to one for this Sunday, it's January 5th, we're going to be celebrating the Theophany, because in these areas, it's impossible to get people together for the 6th. So on the 5th, we will do it. But in more metropolitan areas, you will see that Sunday morning, the Divine Liturgy is not celebrated. Unique situation that a Sunday goes by without the celebration in the morning. Rather, it will be celebrated in the evening. Also, if you get a chance, Theophany Eve, it's a beautiful service that takes place just before the Divine Liturgy, and that's the reading of the Book of Daniel, specifically the story of the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar, a big tongue twister in Armenian, especially, Nabucodonosor. Oh, I love these words. We have some great ones, don't we? Anyway, there is the reading of Daniel chapter 3. Please read that. It's a beautiful, because in there you see the revelation of God. You see that three men enter a furnace, and there's a fourth person in the furnace. And we can reflect on that next week, okay? Let me make a note if we can get to it. Next week, I'm hoping to do something on Garabed coming up, but also we'll reflect on Nabucodonosor, the beautiful story coming up this Monday. So do check out all of the beautiful services that we have within the Armenian Church. Make it meaningful for you. Make it an opportunity that Theophany becomes this moment of singularity in your life, where the changes that you want to make and instill inside of you and your life become real. Not just some superficial event, but something that really changes the essence of who you are, how you interact with God, and therefore interact with your fellow human beings. And on that note of talking about human beings, we will call it a day. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to invite you to get in touch with us at all the usual spots. We're on all the socials, and of course, at inhisshoes.org. And of course, you can drop us an email, which is our preferred method, at feedback@epostle.net. That's a really easy name to remember. Epostle? Yeah, of course, that's apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Ken, our technical director, Susie, our producer, This is Father Vazgen wishing you a happy new year and a happy new decade, and inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
The reason of the season.